above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Is there more?
Nice short one today for everyone. Good morning. Great to have you here this morning. One of the things I will let you know about this morning, the sermon, I never usually say this because just in case I get it wrong, it should be a little bit shorter this morning because we'll be having the members meeting very soon. One of the things my preaching teacher told me is that all pastors worry about their sermons being too short, and everyone in the congregation worries about them being too long. So hopefully it's not too long, and so we can get into information for the members meeting really soon. We are going on this journey at the moment, on 21 days of prayer and fasting. And before we do anything else, it makes sense for us, if we're speaking about 21 days of prayer and fasting, to not just talk about it, but to actually spend some time praying. And so I'm just going to do that right now, and then we will continue on in our time together. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you right now, as we come before your word that you have so graciously given us, we do pray that you might illuminate our hearts through it. Will you help us to posture ourselves before you in a way where we understand your magnificence, your power, your greatness, your creativity, and the fact that you call us into relationship with yourself. We are so grateful, Lord, for the way that you provide for us every single day. And we do ask, Lord, that we might be able to right now understand more of what it means to pray. What a gift we have, God, that we are able to meet with you anywhere that we are. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, can you believe it's about 6 years now since COVID-19 happened. And when COVID-19 first took place, I had just entered into ministry at a new church. And one of my first acts as a new pastor in this church was to shut down services. I never thought that that was going to be one of my first things that I would do within the first few months, but God had different plans for the church. And one of the things that was a little bit strange for me coming back to services after everything had shut down for a while is now everyone had this fear of shaking hands with one another or even giving hugs to one another. Now, if you've been around churches for any length of time, you would be familiar with the fact that shaking hands and hugging one another is a very commonplace practice after we share with one another in the service. This action of handshaking, it's something that can be very automatic to us, but it's something that actually began a few hundred years ago as a way of acknowledging peace between two warring parties. Someone would shake another person's hand in demonstrating that they did not have any weapons that they were holding on to. So Greeks, they would shake forearms to make sure the other person didn't have a concealed weapon. In the Middle Ages, enemies would shake each other's hands to shake loose any hidden weapons that they might have had. I hope that we don't need to do that at all after our time in the service. And in cultures all throughout the world, there have just been these different signs and movements that people will do with their hands, these actions that they mean certain things. A couple of months ago, there was an action that was given towards me. I was driving along and I was going at 50 through a 50 zone, and there was someone who came up in a black SS ute very quickly behind me, and he did not seem very fond of the fact that I was going 50 in a 50 zone. And so there was a certain gesture, there was a certain action that he gave towards me because he thought I was going too slow. These gestures or actions, they have meaning attached to it. It's not just the gesture itself, it is the meaning that lies underneath what the person is doing, what they're trying to communicate. And throughout Scripture, there are times where people come before God with physical actions, including in the passage that we read just before. Often we call these postures because it's more about what is happening within the heart of the person rather than the action itself. A posture, it is more encompassing than just a simple gesture that you would do with your hands. Postures are approaching someone with a particular approach or attitude. So if I come to you with my arms crossed and my shoulders hunched and glaring at you a little bit, that is communicating a certain thing through my posture. And if I come to you openly like this, that is communicating something else. When we approach our Father, Yahweh, in prayer, we are wanting to encounter His presence in our lives, and so there is a certain posture that we come before Him with. But these postures spoken about in Scripture of what is physically being done in approaching God, they are quite consistent. And these postures, they speak more into the attitude that we should come before God with in prayer. And the two postures that we see regularly throughout Scripture when it comes to prayer specifically are kneeling and raising hands. And they have a similar meaning. Both of these postures, they've been used historically, not just by Scripture or in religious ceremonies, but in many different societies. So if a king had lost a battle, the sign that he was surrendering to the opposing king was that he would kneel before that other king. Even today, if someone in the movies goes to someone with a gun and the other person doesn't have one, the person will lift up their hands and they will say, "Don't shoot, I surrender." It is showing that you are surrendering, both of these different postures. Surrender. That is the posture that we come to God with when we are praying. Kneeling and raising hands are just demonstrations of this that we see throughout passages like what we saw in Psalms just before. They are so linked with people's prayer in Scripture because they demonstrate surrender. I'm just going to read that passage once again. "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Surrender, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you only would hear His voice." Notice that the reason for surrender is to acknowledge who God is. He is great, worthy, deserving of all praise, all honor. He is powerful, He is God, and we are not. And so it's our place, when we come before Him, to come with a posture of surrender. Now, the action itself means nothing if the heart of the person isn't actually surrendering. Especially when we come before God. He's able to see our heart, the inside of what's going on within us. And so an action without a heart change means nothing. Now, surrender doesn't mean timidness when we come before God. Surrender doesn't mean that we need to approach God in some special or overly sacred way, but we come before Him with confidence. Yes, we come with a posture of surrender, but again and again throughout Scripture, we're told, approach Him confidently. In Psalm 95, it says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Sorry to bring up the lockdown again, but one of my friends who is working from home had a very difficult time when he was working from home during lockdown when it was happening. He was just talking about the fact that his kids kept coming into his office all the time. He had three very young children. You know, they kept coming in and bothering him throughout the day. And so I asked the very logical question, which was simply, why don't you shut your door? And he said that because of his understanding of his relationship with his Heavenly Father, he wanted his children to know that they always have the opportunity to come to him. And then he stayed up very, very late at different times of the night, but his children understood that they could come to him with confidence. And this is the beautiful gift that we have with God. His door is always open for us. So yes, we come with an attitude of surrender, but we come to him with confidence. No matter what is going on in our life, no matter if there is sin that has gripped your heart, you come before him with surrender, knowing that you will receive grace. Confidence. It doesn't mean arrogance or apathy in our understanding of who he is. He is our Father who loves us greatly and desires intimacy with us, but he is also God. He is the Creator. Come to him in confidence. He is not your service. He doesn't surrender servant. He does not surrender to you, and we surrender to him. And when we come to him in confidence, surrendering to him, we're praying for God's power to work, and we come with expectation that his work, that he will work in power, that mighty things will happen for that will happen by his hand. We pray for his will to be done. This was Jesus' own prayer in the garden. Going a little farther, he fell his face with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Notice Jesus himself, his posture was one of surrender, even in the darkest moment of his life. When he was facing the cross, his action right there, face to the ground, praying, "Not as I will, but as you will." Having a posture of surrender, it's not primarily about being on our knees physically or raising our hands physically. It is about praying for your will to be done. When I was first entering into ministry, I may have shared this before already. But what I really wanted to do before entering into ministry at all was to be able to make some money, to buy a house, to get a wife and children, a couple of dogs, a couple of cars, and then enter into ministry. What I was really desiring was some security for my life. And one of the key conversations that I had with my brother was he asked me the question, "Dave, at the moment it feels like you are simply trying to have your own way with where you are desiring your life to go, and you need to surrender all of that over to God." I thought that was quite a bold thing for him to say, but it really stuck with me in my heart that I had been pursuing my own plans for my life, and I hadn't really surrendered over my life to what God wanted me to do. I needed to adopt this posture of surrender. When you do, you will experience the presence and the blessing of God. Towards the beginning of the year, we're often filled with these dreams and aspirations of what God might do in our lives. We can write New Year's resolutions and have thoughts about what God might do, but none of it matters unless we posture ourselves before God with a posture of surrender before our Father and ask for his will to be done. And that is what we are asking for our church as well at this time. We are asking for his will to be done in our church as it is in heaven. You might have expected your life to go one way and it hasn't. You might be wanting something to go a certain way and you're not sure it will. You might even be saying, God, take this cup away from me right now. And yet with every situation in our lives, we surrender it over to God and pray, your will be done. And so what I'm going to do right now, I'm just going to pray a quick prayer of surrender for all of us here in this church. And what I'm just going to ask you to do is, if you are physically able, I'm going to actually ask you to kneel. If you aren't physically able, I'm just going to ask you to put your hands out in front of you right now as we seek to have a posture of surrender in our hearts. So I just invite you to do that right now. If you're physically able, would you kneel before God? And if you're not physically able, just put your hands in front of you and we're going to posture ourselves in a way right now where we're surrendering ourselves to God afresh. Lord, in this moment, I pray for my brothers and sisters here who have been holding on to dreams and aspirations that are not from you. And I ask you, Lord, right now, by your Spirit, help them to surrender it over to you. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning who have been holding on to sin in their own lives. And I pray, Lord, help them to surrender it over to you. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning who have been holding on to guilt and shame in their lives. And I pray, Lord, help them to surrender it over to you right now. Lord, we don't want to come before you in this church or in our own lives desiring for our will to be done, because we know that your plans and purposes for our lives are so much better. You are a faithful God, and your faithfulness has been evident throughout generations. So as your people right now, not just as individuals, but corporately, we pray, we yearn, we ask, Lord, search our hearts for those things in our lives that we have not surrendered over to you. If it is security, if it is family, if it's any sort of relationships, Lord, if it's our money, our resources, Lord, all of these things, we hand them over to you. We don't hold on to anything for ourselves because you are the one who owns it all anyway. So Lord, as your people, corporately, we surrender ourselves afresh to you. And Lord, for my brothers and sisters here who might be here this morning, who don't know you, who don't have relationship with you, I pray, Lord, would you move them, pull them by your Holy Spirit and help them to make that first act of surrender, where they surrender their lives over to you and they understand the salvation of being in a relationship with an almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You don't have to remain on your knees. I'm aware that you'll get sore on the carpet over here. But we are going to stand and we're going to respond in worship, which means get up on your feet. As we sing this final song, you might like to posture yourself physically in different ways that help you to surrender to God as well.